Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. The Father spoke the word into that primordial chaos over which the Spirit hovered and brought forth everything that is, both great and small, from the sun that rules the day to the smallest scuttling creatures of the earth. It was good. And then God created us, humanity, and we were good, very good even. Very good, because God had made us special, made us in his own unique image. God made us to reflect the mysterious image of the triune God, who is one God and yet three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he made mankind, male and female, correspondent and complementary to each other, independent and yet completing one another, plural and distinct persons, yet united as one, even one flesh, within the gift of marriage that he gave us, made us for. And within marriage, we see the heart of that image of the triune God whom we are made to reflect, the heart of selfless, self-giving love. The three persons of the Trinity relate to each other in love given and received. And so husband and wife give entirely of themselves to the other in love. And that love is generative. God created this world and all the life in it out of love. The love in marriage brings forth the life of a child, who then receives that selfless love of his father and of his mother, and then loves them in return, loving not because of what they can do each for the other, but because of who they are for each other. That's God's creation of a family, founded and bounded by love, reflecting the heart and the image of God. And it is good. As mankind would be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, that family becomes the foundational building block of human civilization. Every family, founded and bounded by selfless godly love, would serve and then support each other. Theirs would be a kingdom of order and justice and freedom, a beautiful kingdom where they could build and create and discover, all united in heart while remaining distinct in persons and purpose. Men taming chaotic forces and harnessing their might, as well as protecting and preserving justice against the demonic forces that would destroy what love has created. Women carrying and cultivating that life and beauty for which men gladly lay down their lives, as well as drawing all humanity together in ever closer bonds of joy and love. A whole and wholesome kingdom, founded and bounded by streams of selfless love, love which you can trace all the way back to its source within the heart of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it would be good. But it all went wrong. God gave us a perfect beginning, everything very good, which we quickly brought to an end. Sin crept into the hearts of the first man and woman and twisted the image of God within them. Selfless love became selfish love. Man abandoned his wife and family and protected only himself. Woman would now only be able to bring forth children for death. Mankind was fractured. Man and woman turned their backs on one another, blamed each other for everything that went wrong, ran away from each other, tried to hide their shame from each other, and then got angry when they couldn't. They began to pretend and insist that they were right and good, and that everything else, everyone else, was wrong and backwards. That beautiful image of God within them was in tattered ruins. And the most pressing issue on their minds? What will happen when God comes back and sees what we've done. From that moment when mankind first brought sin into it, this world was destined to burn. And look at what's happened. It feels like the end of the age is upon us. What have these past years shown us? Global pandemic, panic, wars and rumors of war, homes, hearts, livelihoods destroyed, riots, looting, murder, tyranny, rage, despair, and lies, lies, lies. This is all the result of mankind's sin writ large upon this world that God has given to us. This is what results when mankind turns its back on God, when it guts the last vestiges of God's image in us. Marriage has been rewritten, erased, defaced. Men abandon all honor and responsibility and abuse their strength. Women abandon their unique beauty and posture the ugliest traits of men. Children are robbed of their own fathers and mothers and are treated as tools, as commodities, and inconveniences. The family, which is the foundation for any civilization, is crumbling and disintegrating. We now reap what we have sown. And all of us, people of every stripe, all of us are complicit. We have been selfish. Our love for others has failed. We have failed as husbands and as wives, as fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, as neighbors to everyone around us. We have failed to protect and preserve ourselves and our families from sin when we could have. We have served ourselves, entertained ourselves, exalted ourselves, been unwilling to give of ourselves for the good of another. We have bought into a way of life that feeds this selfishness and shamelessness because it is easy. Ours is a fractured and twisted kingdom, founded and bounded by sin, which you can trace all the way back to its source within our own sin-twisted hearts. Now, with all this in front of us, the real most pressing issue of our day remains the same as it was back in the Garden of Eden. What's going to happen when God comes back to see what we've done with this world that He's given us, this life that He's given us? What's going to happen when we die? If all that we had to go on was the fact that God created everything to be very good, and we made everything to be very bad, then the only outcome we could expect would be very bad for us. And that would be justice. That would be good. But God has more for us. His heart of selfless love is unchanged toward us, wretched as we have become. And in the hours and days and generations since mankind fell into sin, God revealed Himself not only to be our Creator, but our Redeemer and our Sanctifier. When He came down to see our first parents hiding behind their fig leaves, He didn't destroy them. He told them that yes, the consequence of their sin would mean pain and death for them and those that came after them. Yes, their evil would destroy itself. But that would not be the end of them, nor of the world. He would send a man, even become a man, to undo all of the destruction that sin would wreak on this world. He would undo death by dying. And why? Why die for the very ones who brought death on the world, whose sin only makes this world a worse place? Because He loves them. He loves you. And so, God the Father sent God the Son to become incarnate as a man by the power of God the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, free from the corruption of sin in our nature. In Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ, God has shown his true face, the face of love. In Jesus, God takes up his own image of selfless love to restore that image of love to us. In Jesus, God showed us how he was restoring all of his creation to what it was meant to be. He showed us by healing every wound and disease, by casting out every harassing demon, by forgiving every corrupting sin, by undoing the work of death, by counting every man, woman, and child of every nation as his own people, each now made worthy of his love and service and sacrifice. Jesus is that eternal divine word through whom the Father spoke creation into being. And now the Father has spoken his creative word to us again. He spoke Jesus to us to recreate us into the people we are meant to be. "This is my beloved Son," he said. "Listen to him." And in Jesus, God has accomplished the necessary work to save us from our sin, to make his word of forgiveness efficacious. Jesus was accosted by the selfish mob of humanity to which we belong, a mob that made a mockery of justice and murdered God by nailing him to the cross. The Father would pour out all of his wrath over your sin upon his Son, so that the Spirit could exchange Jesus' righteous life with your sinful one. That was the price of your recreation, a price that God gladly paid so that you would be his own, so that you could stand before him when he comes back at the end of this world and expect mercy. Not because you were good, but because he is good. That end is still coming, and indeed has already begun. The ending didn't begin with anything that you read in the headlines recently. It began on the day that Jesus walked out of the tomb. That Easter day, the new world ahead began. The world ahead that has no death in it anymore, no violence or fear or despair or injustice because of sin. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again, means that all sin has been overcome. It's been undone. It means that this corrupted world must end so that the new and good one may take its place. That world that we've always longed for, the kind of world that we failed again and again to create for ourselves. That world is coming. No matter what you believe about it, or about God, or about Jesus, all of us creatures are already beholden to God as our creator, and he promised us a new creation, everything good again. So the real question now is, do you want to be part of it? Do you want to live there? And it's a real question because the only way into that world is through Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can make us right for that world, cleanse us for that world, cleanse us so that there will be no speck of hate or fear or selfishness left in that world. Any who reject his cleansing, reject his forgiveness, reject his truth and love, and are still corrupt by sin, they would carry that violence and death of this world into that new one, which God would not allow. There is no place for evil in that world to come, and so they will be locked outside of it, in the same place where the corrupting devil and his ilk are imprisoned. That's what hell is. So how do we receive Jesus now, and all that work of forgiving and cleansing and recreating that he has done to us, done for us? We receive Jesus through his own creative word. Receive it by faith, hearing and believing. That word at work in us and on us and through us, that changes everything about ourselves, about our future, our world. That's why the resurrected Jesus, in light of that last day, when he returns to end this world, make a new one, that's why he commands us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What God gives us here is his own word, by which everything was created good. It's a word that actually does something, actually accomplishes what it speaks. This word is the revealed way that God has changed the course of history to bring us to life, to give us hope, to bring about true justice. This word of grace and forgiveness truly heals, gives life, creates life. Life within us, life between us. Where this word guides, good results. Good in a world of evil. In the word of baptism, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, and God the Father spoke his Son and his Spirit into you. Not just to give you a second chance, but a new beginning, new origin in his love. He has already restored his image of selfless love in you. He gave you a new heart to trust him, a new heart to love one another. He made you good by giving you his good. He continues to make you strong by giving you his strength to be a good man, to be a good woman, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a neighbor. Through the word of the scriptures, your Father continues to teach you now, to shape you, to live that good life he's created within you, to do the good works he's prepared for you to do. Works of service, of selfless love, of creating and building and providing and preserving. Through the word of forgiveness, fractured marriages, fractured families are restored. Hate is undone, and neighbors can finally live in peace. Do you see now what God has freely put into your hearts and your hands and your mouths here? He's not just given you the life of that good world to come, but that same word brings that good into the present as well. You want to change the world? Go, baptize, teach the word, observe all that Jesus has commanded you to do. Start with yourself. Repent of your sin. Confess it. Hear it forgiven. Come to church. Come to Bible study. Pay attention to preaching. Receive the supper. Read the Bible. Pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit into whom you were baptized. Then live out your vocations. Be a good husband and father, a good wife and mother, a good worker and neighbor and citizen and friend. Act justly. Show mercy. Create beauty. Do what is good. Build what is good. Cultivate and honor what is good. Set an example for all by what you say and you do, so that they may see God at work in you and through you, and teach your children to do the same. They're watching. They're listening. And they'll learn from you how to speak and to act in this world. So teach them well. All this is forgotten work. It's humble work. Simply being a good spouse and parent and neighbor. But as it is the work of selfless love that God's work has given to us, it is the most powerful work that we can do in this world. Because it's God at work. God at work through his word, active in us, to create life and create good even now. Through this word and work, God creates havens of good in this evil world, makes our church and our homes to be sanctuaries for those weary and crushed by the world, for the despairing and the dying, so that we may all receive God's strength to endure to the end of the age. And that end will come, and it will be good. This world as we know it, with all of its violence and fear and hate, this world will burn, and we will be rid of its problems forever. And what comes next? A new world of only good, only justice, only holiness, righteousness, peace, and security. That's your future home, and no one can take it from you. The word who will bring you there is with you always, just as he promised. His Spirit fills you. His Father hears your prayers. Go now and do the good work God has prepared for you to do here as those who bear his name and his Spirit and his word. He's already made your heart new to reflect his own heart once more, founded and bounded by love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will bring you home to live with him forever, for he is very good. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.